You know, yesterday as I was continuing to pray and ask the Lord to refine this word that he has placed on my heart, I went up into a room and I was beginning to prepare, and I saw that my son wanted to go and throw the football. And so I walked back down to where he was, and my father, also my dad, was also outside with my son, his grandfather, my dad. Y'all got that? And I said, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to spend this time and throw the football with my dad and with my son. No better way to prepare a Father's Day message than to just put it all down for a moment and just spend time. You know, time is our most valuable asset that we have, the most valuable resource that we have. And it was awesome. It was hot, though. As I told y'all last week, I made the very amazing statement that the reason it's so hot in Mobile is because we're close to the sun. I felt it yesterday. You know, I'm not going to come in here and expect that everybody in this room has the exact same opinion and understanding of their father as I or each of us in this room. When it comes to Father's Day, for some, it brings about tears of joy because their father has gone to heaven. The encouragement, the leading, the directing, the just amazing Christ-like father. And then some come into this room and Father's Day is very painful. David, you just don't realize what I went through or how this happened or that happened. And my prayer today for Father's Day is that first we would realize that none of us have perfect earthly dads. We all come in here together, whether we have joyous or painful memories. We all come in here together and we can state that none of our fathers on earth, earthly dads, were perfect. None of them. And for those who have those joyous encounters in their mind and begin to think about what has taken place, we rejoice. And those who are walking through that pain, I pray that you would walk in forgiveness. Just as our perfect Heavenly Father has forgiven each of us. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, the Lord's model prayer. You notice that I'm going to continue to put model prayer in there. And it says this in chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name.'" Now in Matthew chapter 6, it uses the word "our Father." Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 says, "Pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven." Now we've got to, last week we really zoned in on the holiness of God. And let me tell you, from standing up here and being able to see what God was doing, there was a holy hush over this place, including in my own heart. When you begin to just think about the holiness and the greatness of our God, it literally put us to a place of being still and silent and knowing that He is God. And my prayer this morning is that we will continue to have that view of God. My prayer throughout this week is that as you were walking around and sharing and working and teaching and talking and spending time with friends and family, that you had the view of God's holiness in the forefront of everything that you did. But as I said last week, this statement here is just so mind-blowing to me. On one hand, we have God's holiness. Isaiah 6, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And listen, Isaiah falls on his face. Moses covers his face, takes off his shoes because he's on holy ground. Revelation 4, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, day and night, continually. So on one hand, we see the holiness of God. He's set apart. There's none like Him. But in the same sentence, Jesus says, our Father, intimate, personally intimate relationship with each of us. In His holiness, He calls out that He is our Father. And as we begin to look at that today, I just want us first to say, who can call Him Father? Jesus didn't say, my Father. Jesus said that several times throughout Scripture, but in this prayer, He says, our Father. Jesus, the Son of God, is telling the disciples that when you pray, to call Him Father. What a powerful statement. He's telling them to call them Father. Now, who gets to call Him Father? In the Scripture, we see this in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave them the right to become what? Children of God. Even to those who believe in what? His name. Those who believe in Christ, those who were born of God, those who have accepted the blood of the Lamb, and they've crossed over from death to life, they are children of God. That is a profound statement. I mean, you and I are, as believers in Christ, we are children of the Most High God. I mean, I think about the fact that I hear story after story after story about young men who, when they saw they had an issue on the playground or they had an issue here in their neighborhood or whatever, and then their father stepped out and said, guys, and it would take care of the situation. From that moment on, they were like, that's my father. That's my dad. Like, there was this boldness when they saw their father step up to the occasion. And man, I literally, like, I break down when I think about the fact that my heavenly Father, who is perfect, was the creator God of the universe. You know, that verse that says, greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world, comes way more into light for me when I say, man, that's my heavenly Father. Greater is He who is in me. Greater is my heavenly Father than anything that this world can throw at me. What a powerful moment. It says those who believe, they're children of God. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Remember, for us, the main part of our vision is know Him intimately, to grow in Him daily. We must know Christ. We must know God. When we know Him intimately, when we're a believer in Him, we can call Him Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, it says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Adrian Rogers says in his book, Our Father, he says that word Abba means as all the way down to the state of dad and even to an intimate form of even daddy. When we were in Israel, I was talking with one of the people who went with us, and he said, David, I just want you to know we went to all these sites, all these amazing things. We got to see Mount Carmel where the fire of God fell down with Elijah. We got to go to the Valley of Armageddon and see where God is going to come back. We got to go and see where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and all these different things. We went to Jerusalem and a place where they believe may be Golgotha and all these amazing things. But he said that there was one moment that just has put me to tears. He said it was at dinner one night, and I was like, man, like, that was some really good food. And he said it was that night. I was in the line getting food, and there was a Jewish man standing next to me. And all of a sudden, I saw this little kid over off to the right running up, "Abba! Abba!" This little kid who spoke Hebrew, obviously, was crying out to his dad, "Abba! Abba!" What a powerful moment. As believers in Christ, we call him Father. You say, "But David, what about non-believers?" Oh, the Bible is very specific about that. I'm going to talk about this quickly. In John 8:44, it says, "You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father." That's tough to hear. The scripture says that Satan is the father of all lies. It says that we're enslaved to him as non-believers, those who have not been set free by the blood of the Lamb. I don't know about y'all, but just that one statement where it says, "You are of your father, the devil," I'm telling you, that makes me want to go share the gospel with every person on every street corner across this nation. Because God the Father sent his son that we may be adopted children and call him Father. So as believers, we're able to call him Father. On one hand, it's his holiness, but yet he also intimately is acquainted and loves us as a father. Last week, I shared with you that Jesus is who gives us access to God in his holiness. I shared with you why we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus because he's all powerful. But we also pray in the name of Jesus because he is the one who tore the veil from top to bottom and allowed us entry into the throne of God. But it goes even deeper than that. It's because of Jesus' life and death and resurrection that we're able to transform from the Father of all lies to our Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the sacrifice that was paid that our lives are transformed from death to life, to being a child of the Most High God. And let me remind you that our Father in heaven is the one who created earth by just speaking. No, it was not millions of years with gas bubbles. No, it was my Heavenly Father. It was my Heavenly Dad who said, "Let there be light." And let me tell you something, he's that big, he's that powerful, he's that strong. I'm going to lose it here in a minute. We see that believers, that we can call him Father. You know, as I shared earlier, and I'm going to give you a quote from Adrian Rogers, he said in his book, "Divine fatherhood is not a reflection of human fatherhood. It's not that since we are fathers, we project that onto God, but to the contrary, all human fatherhood is patterned after the divine fatherhood. Father is what God is." As we look at this scripture and we see that we are children of the Most High God, but we see that he is our Heavenly Father, we have to start with point number one, and that is this. We cannot put our human limitations and our human view on God's fatherhood. Some of you in this room struggle with calling God your father because of all the pain and the struggles that you've gone through with your earthly father. And as I shared with you earlier, we must walk in forgiveness. But the first thing that we must do is we must see God the Father for who he is. Not for what we're going to create him to be because of our experiences in life. We can't say, "Well, listen, I never really talked to my father here on earth, so I'm not going to talk to God the Father." We can't say, well, "I was neglected by my earthly father, so God the Father must also have that same characteristic." That's the reason why we have this, the Word of God, God speaking to us, and it tells us about our Heavenly Father's characteristics and who he is. And so let's just start there for a moment. We must see God through the lens of the Bible, through Christian worldview, not through our human worldview. God the Father, as we said last week, is holy. He's perfect. I started earlier and just said to you, none of us had a perfect father. None of us. But we have a perfect heavenly Father. God the Father is holy. He is perfect. As I shared last week, Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There is no sin in Him. He is perfect. He is set apart. Man, that gives us, as I said earlier, and I was jumping ahead in the message, that gives us boldness that He's perfect. Any fear that we may have, it all gets washed away when we realize that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that He is perfect, that He is with us, and that He is for us, and that He is holy. God the Father is love. John 3:16 says this. Many of you have it memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. It says in 1 John chapter 4, 8 and 9, it says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Our perfect heavenly Father loves us so much, Romans 5:8, that He sent His only Son to die for you and I. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, our heavenly Father realized that there was no way for us to commune with Him. There was no way for us to be His children outside of a sacrifice being paid. And He realized that that sacrifice was going to come at the expense of His own Son on a cross. No greater love than this, than He who lays down His life for a friend. God allowed His Son to be laid down on the cross to die for you and I, that we may have life. Jesus took the pain, the wrath that we deserved on the cross, so that you and I may be children of the Most High God. And let me just stop here for a second. When I talk about us being children of the Most High God, some of us, depending on how mature or how knowledge, much knowledge we have, or age or whatever it is, it's difficult for us to think about being a child. But the scripture says that unless you come like these little children, God has called us to be like children as we come to our Father. Man, when a child is sitting in their father's lap, as a young kid, I mean, I've got a 4 and a 7-year-old at home. As I told you earlier, that's a prayer request. But I got a 4 and a 7-year-old at home. And when they sit in my lap, man, they are trusting, and they're like, man, like I'm safe in my daddy's arms. And God's calling us, no matter how young or how old, how mature or unmature, God is calling us to come and to fall as children into the lap of our Father. And just trust Him. Because He loves us unconditionally. He showed that. He demonstrated that by sending Jesus for you and I to die on the cross. My favorite song, as I've shared, my favorite Bible verse is Genesis to Revelation. I have a lot of favorite songs too. But my favorite song was, and I don't think Mercy Me wrote it, but that's who I heard sing it, so I'll just give them the credit. And it was, if I could just sit with you a while, if you would just hold me, moment by moment, till forever passes by. And it's just a cry of a child saying, Heavenly Father, I just want to crawl up in your lap and just sit here for a while. Man, I'm turning 35 this week, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I want to be like a child and crawl up in my Heavenly Father's lap. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed of that. Because I'm a whole lot safer in His arms than saying, oh no, I'm not going to be like a child. And I mean, come on, like I'm of age. I shouldn't have to do that. Well, God's called us to become like a child. It says God is love. So God's perfect. He's holy. I could go on and on about who our Heavenly Father is. I don't have time, but I want to share this one other one. that God the Father, He nurtures. Yeah, He provides. He takes care of His children. In Matthew 6, 25, it says this, "For this reason I say to you," and I really am going to jump to 32, but let me just start with 25. It says this, I'm in the wrong chapter there. It says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they?" See, David, that's tough. I've told you over and over, don't start worrying until you see a skinny bird. He says, are you not more valuable to your heavenly Father? Look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the ground, the flowers. Are you not more valuable to your heavenly Father? Skip down to verse 32. It says this, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God is our heavenly Father. He is our provider. One of the biggest things when you ask somebody, well, what is your father? Oftentimes on this earth, earthly dad, they say, well, he's a provider. He's a provider. Here we see God the Father saying, don't worry about all these things. You're in my arms. If God loved us enough to send Jesus to die that you may have life, is it too big of a task for us to say, God, I'm resting in your provision? You know, we'll trust God for our provision for salvation, but how often do we try to take our own provision into our hands every day? Emmy is 7, Samuel is 4, and I guarantee you 1 hour at the house by themselves would be bad. Them trying to provide on their own, 7 and 4, it wouldn't take place, it couldn't happen. But yet so often, what do we do to our Heavenly Father? I got this, God, I got it, I'm good. But when it starts to fall apart, I'll call on you. As sarcastic as that sound, is that not what we do so often? Is that not what the nation of Israel did? And by the way, in the Old Testament, he was called the father of the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, Jesus says, our Father. Did not the nation of Israel say, hey, okay, we're good? Then they ran and did all their things, and when it all fell on top of them and they started to see the discipline of God, they were like, okay, we're coming back. We need you now. He's our provider. He does not neglect his children. In Matthew 7, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm jumping ahead again. So we have to see that God, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. He's holy. We cannot put the lens of human limitations on our Father in heaven. We cannot say and try to figure out who our Heavenly Father is based on our own experience. We must go back to the Word of God and see that He is all-powerful, that He is perfect, and He is holy. But the second thing we must see is that we have access to speak, to pray to our Father. That's what Luke 11 is all about. Is He not sharing with them how to pray? Is He not giving them a model prayer? Pray this way, our Father, or Father, hallowed be thy name. We have access to pray to our Father. Now, let me just say this. I don't know about y'all, but every now and then I have some type of issue that I would I would love to share with the President of the United States. Anybody ever have an issue in their mind that they would love to share with the President of the United States? And I don't know about y'all, but the people who do try to share that with the President of the United States, maybe the guy who flew in with like a mailbox thing and he was going to fly mail over and he didn't make it too far. I think he made it to the lawn or something. Or maybe, you know, I guess I could go jump the fence and I may get 5 steps. I don't really know. But I just want to take him a message. You know, jump the fence. Hey, guys, I got a message. How far am I going to get? Y'all going to see me on TV. But let me tell you something. Who has access to the president? His son does. If his child came knocking on that door, the Oval Office, let me tell you, the Secret Service, outside of some craziness that's going on, ain't going to say, you can't go speak to your dad. See, the son to the president has, the child of a president has access to him. Hey, we don't. Let me just tell you, it is amazing that God, through Jesus Christ, has now called us his children, and we have access to him like a child does to his father. And is it not beautiful that Psalms 139 tells us that our Heavenly Father knows us better than we know ourselves? I don't know about y'all, but I want to get advice and wisdom from somebody who knows me better than myself. Psalms 139, let me just flip there and just, I mean, I don't have time to read the whole thing. Even though last week I said, don't worry about the time. Psalms 139, it says this in verse 1. It says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you have known me." In verse 2, it says, "You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar." It says in verse 3, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. See, God has given us access by Jesus and the blood of the Lamb to call him our Heavenly Father. And listen, his children have access to him. To speak to him, to cry out to him as a child does to a father. Bonhoeffer said it this way, "The right way to approach God is to stretch out our hands and ask of the one who we know has the heart of a father." Listen, when we cry out to God, we know that his heart is towards us, it's for us, he loves us. We're his children. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says this, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Listen, even when we don't know how to pray as a child of the living God, we say, "God, give us that strength. Speak through us. Cry out through us. You know me better than I know myself." In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It says that we can draw confidently. Now, that was something difficult for me to understand for a long time. Because as a child, sometimes we are concerned of how our earthly father is going to respond or react to what we have to say. But we can go confidently before the throne of God because Jesus has torn the veil from top to bottom. But praise God, we don't have to fear and be concerned of a reaction from God. He's going to respond to us according to the word of God, according to who he is and his love for us. So often I hear people say, and I hear children and I hear youth say, "David, I just didn't go share this because I was so afraid of the reaction. I was so afraid of the response." Praise God, we can go to our Heavenly Father without any fear of that response. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to hear what you don't want to hear. But let's just, in this room, if we are being honest with ourselves and being honest with each other, sometimes it's not the response that was so painful from our earthly father or our earthly mother. It was how it was said. It was the disappointment on the face. It was the frustration or the hurt. But the scripture says that we have authority to go before the throne of God. And we don't have to be concerned about that reaction or that response. We can cry out to Him as a child who's just pouring their heart out before God. And you say, well, David, God knows all things. Why do we have to pray to Him? You know, that's a silly question, but I used to say it myself. I used to say that all the time. Well, I mean, when I was a very young Christian, young believer, I used to say, I don't need to pray. God already knows. Let me put it to you this way. About a month and a half ago, I had an incredible opportunity to go fly in a small plane. And when I say fly, it was a four-seater plane. It was a friend and myself and his son and my son, Samuel. That was who was in the plane. And we flew down to Dauphin Island, and on our way back from flying back from Dauphin Island, my friend looked at me and he said, David, you're going to fly the plane. I was like, okay. Now, we didn't tell Leslie about this till after. And by the way, when Sam, not me, told Leslie that I flew the plane, her face was, and Sam was, it was really bumpy when Daddy flew. And I picked up, I call it a steering wheel. I think it's actually called a yoke. And here I am, if I turned left, it went left. If I turned right, I was like, man, like, this is cool. You know, I flew for probably 30 seconds, felt like an hour. But here's the thing. The pilot doesn't need me. Oh, no. He can fly on his own all day long. But I can't fly without the pilot in that seat telling me what to do, giving me the instructions, helping me to understand. There was no way that, I mean, I wouldn't know what I was doing. We would have crashed that thing immediately. And here's the beauty of it. The pilot doesn't have to have that person sitting there with the controls for him to be able to fly it. But he allowed me in to be a part of that, to walk through that, to experience it, to be there, and to enjoy what was taking place. God also has called us to speak to Him, to cry out to Him, because of the intimacy that we have with the Father. You say, David, He knows all things. I know He does. You say, David, He doesn't have to have us pray to Him for Him to know that. I get it. But praise God that He's given us the authority to call on His name. Praise God that though He didn't need it, He loves us that much that He's given us access to come before our Heavenly Father. It just continues to point back to the love of the Father. So we have to see who God is. As our Heavenly Father, He's perfect, He's holy. We have the opportunity to speak to God, our Father, which to me still blows my mind. I can't fathom it, even though I get to do it every day. Remember last week I told you we don't have a prayer problem. I don't want to guilt you into praying more. I said, I think that we have a view of God problem, because when we view God for who He is, we will fall on our face and we will not have any prayer problem. And that's like that for me. When I see that the Creator God of the universe has allowed me to be His child and cry out to Him as my Heavenly Father, let me tell you something. I wake up and can't wait to spend time with Him. Throughout my day, I'm getting to spend time with the Creator God of the universe. When I go to lay down at night, I'm getting to speak to the Creator God of the universe who calls me His Son. I don't know about y'all, but if that doesn't get you excited, something's wrong. Yes, He is all holy. And in His holiness, He allowed us to be called His children. So we must view Him for who He is. We have access to speak to Him, as we see in Luke 11. But to go even further, the third point this morning is we need to expect to hear from our Father. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I don't give Him time to speak. And I'm not a big fan of whenever, I mean, listen, I get it. I do it in ministry all the time. That's part of the calling of a pastor. But if I'm talking to a dear friend of mine and I never once get to say a word, you get off the phone and you're like, well, okay. I learned everything about that person. But if I would have done that with Leslie when we were dating, we probably wouldn't be married today. If I would have just told her everything about me and never given her time to even share, I wouldn't know much about her. So often people say, David, I don't really know that much about Father God. I really don't know that much about the Word. And I'm like, hey, are you giving God time to speak to you? Are you expecting to hear from Him? And let me just kind of break down a false belief system for a second. When I was growing up, I heard this phrase, and many of you have heard it. God answers in three ways. Yes, no, and what's the last one? Wait. And though that's true, God does speak with yes, no, and wait. But God speaks to us in so many other ways and so many other about other things. If it's just a yes or no or wait, then usually it's just you asking for something. But God speaks to us and He reminds us that He's with us and that He's for us. When God speaks to us, He lets us know, hey, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I don't know about y'all, but I would rather hear God tell me that than just a yes. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, I love this. God's speaking to the nation of Israel. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. This is being spoken to them because God had already spoken this. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to His voice as He tells you and comforts you by knowing that He's not going anywhere? Listen, we don't need to pray. We don't have to pray, God, meet us in this place. Because the Scripture says that He's always with us. What we need to pray is, God, make me aware of Your presence. God, help me to see that You are here with me today. That You're walking with me through this situation. I love that old story where the guy was going through a very difficult time. And he saw this vision and he said that he was walking on the sand. And he said, God, I only saw one footprint in the sand. And God said, it was because I was carrying you. In Psalms 23, verse 4, it says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are what? With me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You say, David, does God speak to you audibly? There's times, yes, I sense the Lord speaking to me. You say, is it like a voice in the sky? No, there's times though in my spirit that I hear the voice of God speaking to me. But let me tell you where I hear God. It's right here, the Word of God. This is God speaking to us. Is there times that I'm led by the Holy Spirit in my... Yes, absolutely. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit that's speaking to me, that's crying out to me, will always be according to this right here, the Word of God. And oftentimes when God is speaking to me, and I'm not in the Word right there, He begins to speak to me the Word of God in that moment. You say, well, David, how in the world do you have the Word of God come back to you in that moment? It's because I'm in it. And it's in me. Because I'm in love with this Word. Because it's God speaking to me. He's talking to me. He's sharing with me about His character, about who He is, and that He loves me, and that He's for me, and He's not against me. Fathers, we started out with a prayer. God, that God would show us and remind us, and I told you that He is for us, not against us. So He speaks to us with comfort. He speaks to us and lets us and reminds us that He's with us and for us. Oh, but here's the one you don't want to hear. He also speaks correction to us. Oh, look at Hebrews. See, it's not just a yes or no or wait. He speaks correction to us. In Hebrews 12, it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you, my sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Oh, I love this. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Fathers in the room, you've said it. Mothers too. I do this because I love you, son. You're about to discipline your child. I just want you to know that I'm doing this because I love you. Can I just tell you that I was well loved as a child? I was well loved. Those who don't get that, I'll tell you later. It says that he disciplines those that he loves. Now, I don't know about y'all. Is anybody frustrated that you look and you see the believers of God are being disciplined, but those who are not walking with the Lord, those who don't know him, don't seem to get disciplined? Anybody ever been frustrated with that? It's called a cash credit. Cash credit. When you pay cash for something, you deal with it right then. You take care of it. If I walk in and I give somebody $10 for something I'm buying, I walk out of the store, I don't have to deal with that store anymore, right? So as a believer, God deals with us right then, right there. Why? So that we begin to look more and more like Christ. That it begins to peel that flesh off of us and that people see Jesus in us. But for a non-believer, it's like going to college for that first day. There's 25 credit cards sitting out there. And you sign up for 26 of them. And then you go on what they call a swiping spree. And all of a sudden, you're just swiping everywhere. You know, just swiping. And you got all this stuff you bring home. But you know what? At the end of the month, the mailbox is not your best friend. Because at the end of the month, you go to the mailbox and you open this nicely looking, usually decorated nicely, letter. And you open it up, and guess what you see? Everything that you have charged has come home to you. See, for a believer, God deals with us. For a non-believer, there's a day coming that they're going to stand before holy God, and everything that they had put on credit will be right there in front, and they will have no excuse for it. There's a day coming for non-believers that the sins that they continued to fester in their life, the sins that they continue to run away from holy God, they're going to have to stand. They're going to have to open that letter before him. And all those things will come back and there will be judgment on that day. In verse 7, it says this, continue on in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Man. In the Old Testament, it says that those who do not discipline hate their child. Powerful statements. God speaks to us. Do you expect to hear from God? He speaks to us through correction. Listen, I fall on my face before holy God and I cry out, search me and know me, O Lord, and show me any evil way about me, Psalms 139. And I ask the Lord, if there's anything in my life, God, show me. And let me tell you something, there's times he takes me to the woodshed. And I can sit there and say, woe is me, I can't believe that this was in my life, oh my goodness. Or I can say, God, forgive me, and now God, help me to walk in your way as I continue forward. How do we deal with that correction? Do we try to defend it? Let me tell you something, he knows you better than you know yourself. You can't hide from God. Two of them try to do it in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve. And it wasn't before the end of the chapter that they were found. Actually, I think it was just a couple of verses. We hid. Why'd you hide? How'd you know? God speaks to us through correction. He also speaks to us by leading us and by directing us. The Bible says that man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Do we go to the Lord and cry out to God, and then do we listen to His voice as He directs and leads us in the path and the way of holiness? It says, be holy as He is holy. Do we allow His word to fall on us and through us and wash us? It says the word of God will not come back void. Do we allow that to lead us in our everyday? Let me tell you this. When we allow the word of God to lead us, when He speaks to us and He leads us, we begin to work for His kingdom and not ours. Isn't that interesting? It's like, God, lead me today. Lead me today. And He's like, come back this way. Because I was going on my own direction, my own way. And He says, David, I'm going to lead you. Now come this way. We begin to work for His kingdom, for His glory. It's no longer about you or about me. It's no longer about us. It's about His kingdom and His glory. So we see that God is holy. He is a perfect heavenly Father. We see that we have access to speak to Him because of the blood of the Lamb, and what an honor and a privilege it is to cry out to Him. And then we see that God speaks to us. We must be still and know that He is God and listen to His voice that He is crying out to us. I want to close with this today. It's Father's Day. I've been a dad for 7 years. And I love my kids. I love them. And for me, my kids even have to come before the ministry. Not before God. God's first in my life. And then my family. And then the ministry. I asked them just to throw a couple pictures up here. See if they can find it. There's my baby girl. Y'all be praying for her. She's having surgery on Wednesday. My baby boy, Sam. I think there's another one of Sam. That's my favorite. I'm not teaching him anything because I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm just keeping him out of trouble. And then there is all three of us. Y'all know my kids. They think they own this place. They don't. God does. That's another prayer request. They're PKs. Y'all know them well. But there's nothing sweeter for a dad. Throw that last picture up. Than when your kids just crawl in your lap. Some of y'all out there are saying, Dave, my kids are way too big for this. I get it. Oh, but what you would give to allow them to crawl in your lap again. There's nothing sweeter for a father when they want to spend time, they crawl up and they speak to you. And when they begin to tell you about what's happening or what's going on. I'll never forget when Emmy came home from school one day and she said, Daddy, all the kids were talking about boyfriend, girlfriend. And I was like, uh-oh. And she said, and one of them even asked me if I had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. A boyfriend. And I said, Amy, what'd you tell him? And she said, I told him that my dad is my boyfriend. And I said, that's really cute right now. That's okay. But I said, and that's awesome. And I said, but from this point on, you start telling them that if somebody wants to be your boyfriend, they've got to come and talk to your dad. But for when she speaks that to me, and yo, how many of us in this room, your heart is overwhelmed when your kid comes to you and tells you about the problem, the situation, the hurt, or the joyous times, the exciting times, and they crawl up in your lap and they feel so safe. They feel like, hey, Dad's protecting me in this moment. Everything's great. And can I tell you? I am so far away from being a perfect dad. So far away. And if my heart is overwhelmed when my kid just simply wants to sit with me, my favorite thing that's happened last Father's Day, maybe it'll happen today, y'all pray. But my favorite thing is when I am sitting on a recliner and one of my kids crawls up into my lap and within about 10 minutes they're out, asleep. Let me tell you something. They don't fall asleep because they didn't feel secure. Now I'm stuck for 2 hours. But it's the best 2 hours of my life. But let me tell you something. I am not a perfect father by no means. I make many mistakes. And if that's how my heart is overwhelmed, then how much more our Heavenly Father, who's perfect, who gave His own Son that you could crawl into His lap as a child and speak to Him, how much more is it for us, for Him, for God, that when in overwhelming, when we would cry out to Him? You know, as we celebrate Father's Day, and fathers, I honor you, it's a tough task. It's a hard road. But the reward is amazing. Our Heavenly Father is the one they need. He's the one we need. 3 years ago, Brother Ed, I went to him and I said, Brother Ed, we got to sing this song on Father's Day. And he said, I got a word from the Lord. You're going to sing it. And I prayed and thought of ways I could deflect it. And he kept coming to me and said, God's telling me. And I mean, Brother Ed's telling me that God's telling him I'm done. And I sat right here on this step. And I sang to my 4-year-old daughter. And the words of the song said this. It said, I want to be your everything. But Jesus is the one you need. Are we going, as Luke 11 tells us, are we going to cry out to our Heavenly Father? Are we going to crawl up into His lap in the intimacy of that moment and say, Heavenly Father, Abba, I need you. I need you. I pray this morning that we will come to the understanding He is holy, holy, holy. And in the same sentence, He is intimately acquainted with each of us as believers.